thank you for tuning in and listening to Oasis of Love's Wednesday's message.
Well, we've been talking an awful lot about how God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers, praise God. And we know we can have that, right? That's the God we serve. But in a blood covenant, there's always two parts. There's a Godward side, and then there's the manward side. And the Bible clearly tells us that we are responsible for the condition of our soul, our will, our emotions, and our inner life. We're responsible for the condition of our physical body, right? Because it's our earth suit. We're going to take care of it. Think about it. If you was an astronaut up there in a space station, you was going to go out and do a walk outside the space station out in outer space, tethered off. Would you want, you know, a suit that's been just kind of wadded up and throw it in a corner? Or do you want one that's been stored properly and inspected carefully before you step out that hatch into the vacuum of space? Well, of course, you're going to want the best, right? Like anybody would. So it's important for us to really understand that it's important and it's our responsibility to make sure that our soul prospers. So last week, we looked at the importance of choosing what and who is speaking into your soul. In other words, what are you reading? What are you watching? Who are the closest people to you? So we got to possess our soul in a very godly way. We can't let the junk in, right? And it comes in through our five physical senses, right? It comes in through our reasoning. It comes in through the memories of the past. Like I shared, one of the most important teachers that I had as a kid was when I was in second grade, Mrs. Bowerman. I mean, that's like forever ago, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and we had to walk 5 miles uphill both ways to school. But Mrs. Bowerman stuck in my heart big time because it was a very impressionable age, 6, 7 years old, you know. And anyway, so she tells me, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. You can do it. She just somehow or another had a way of convincing me of that. And that stuck with me through all of my life. So it's important, you know. So how do we take this part of our lives and restore it to what God wants? Because let's face it, when we come into the things of Christ, we get born again, we are not a finished product. We are a diamond in the rough. We're more like a lump of coal that needs some pressure, you know. But how are we going to do that? So let's take a look at some of this. Go over here to Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Some of these are scriptures we've already covered, but we're going to kind of take a little different look at them, take them in a little different application. But it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, so we're talking to Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if there's a good reason to get a message translation Bible or paraphrase, it's this verse right here. Let me just read it to you from the message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you and develops well-informed maturity in you. So we can see, and there's many other scriptures that I could read that deal with this very subject about keeping our soul and our body holy unto the Lord. Now, God wants you into your life 24/7, 365. It does not work if you make your Sunday morning or Wednesday night your time of being before the Lord. It don't work that way. It just doesn't. Think about it. You know, would you feed your body one meal a week? No, your physical body would start breaking down. I know people that just eat one meal a day, and that's it. That's just a friend of mine does that, and he's scrawny, he's got bad teeth, he's got bad health and everything else, you know, but you know, his family had a weight problem. A lot of the people, you know, his sisters and his mom had terrible weight problems. His dad had terrible weight problems. He thought, well, you just fix that by golly, I'm only going to eat one meal a day. Well, that doesn't work for your physical health any more than it does for your spiritual health. So God says he wants to be tied into us 24/7, 365, and nothing else will do. Just acknowledge him. Talk to him as you're driving down the street. You know, whatever it is, stay God-focused, okay? So you got to freely offer yourself. It's not something he can command you to do. But it's something that you choose to do when you see this is what God wants us to do. And so if we freely offer ourselves, it's the only way to build a true relationship with him. Think about it. If he gave us his all, how can we do less? It's important, you know. So when we're doing this, you know, and we're taking the condition of our soul very seriously, the first important part of it is to be able to stay close to the Lord, because he's going to show you stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily pick up on. I like what John Maxwell said. We judge others by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. So, of course, our intentions are always good, so therefore we're good, right? But we're always pointing out the faults in someone else. Like Jesus said, you know, the speck in the other guy's eye versus the beam that's sticking out of yours. So it's important that we do that, because God wants to reveal the junk that's already at home in your life that you've just become accustomed to. It's like when we started looking earlier this spring at changing some things around in this church. I don't know how many years, probably 15 or better, somewhere between 15 and 20 years, we had the chandeliers in here, or those balls that were hanging down. That was their predecessor. So we went to the chandeliers to get, you know, brighten it up a little bit, but you know what? I became blind to how glaring they were. And it wasn't until other people started saying something that I knew I had to do some changes. See, you become blind to that. You don't even realize that some stuff that you've accepted in your life are really holding you back, that are really keeping you from having a prosperous soul. But when you draw close to the Lord, he's going to start pointing some of this stuff out. Think about it. It's a lifelong process of discovery and then dominion. In other words, you're taking authority over the stuff that's set up camp in your thought life, in your will, your emotions, and your intellect. You're going to cast those things down, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10, because God's shown it to you. And it isn't instantaneous. It takes a while. Go over here to Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 25, Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, as you finish reading this particular portion of Scripture, you'll see that even though Paul is talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife in a perfect marriage, he says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So what he's doing is he's taking the parallel of how a husband is supposed to be to his wife and how a wife is supposed to be to her husband, and saying the church operates very much like this with God. So it's important that we see this, because Jesus loves us so much that he's going to separate us unto himself by repeatedly cleaning us with the word of God. It's so important, because we don't realize how many times we flirt with the world. Back when I first got married, I was an idiot. I was a 19-year-old idiot, dumber than a sack of hammers. And I'm driving along with my girlfriend, who had just become my wife, and there'd be a pretty girl walking down the sidewalk, and I go, wow, did you look at that? Man, I'm telling you what, the temperature dropped 10 degrees in the car. That's stupid, isn't it? That's definitely stupid. You see, I had to get used to being married. I had to remember that my life now was all about taking care of her before I took care of me, and that took a long time, because I was convinced she was there just to help me have a better life. That doesn't make for a good marriage. You know, so it's important that when we have Jesus in our heart and that parallel relationship that's much like a husband and wife, it's something that we have to choose to do. We have to choose to adapt to our mate. Jesus wants us to adapt to him. He doesn't want to share us with the world. I mean, if I was 95% faithful to my wife, you think that'd be good enough? No. No, it wouldn't be. God wants 100% faithfulness to him as well, okay? So it's important. So God's going to use the word of God, his word, to cleanse us. Isn't that interesting? Some people think God corrects his children by giving them sickness and disease and cracked engine block and blah, 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 you know. Oh, by the way, we also found out this week we got a water line. The new one that they brought up to the church is leaking. Now we got a sinkhole out in front of the church. How wonderful, you know, in the winter. But you see, that doesn't get to me because the Word of God is what's cleansing me and setting me free from the old beggarly way of living. The small thinking, the stinking thinking. As I see more and more in the Word of God, how God sees me, as I see more and more in the Word and the authority that's mine, when I see more and more in the Word, the different things that convict me and tell me that, you know, that part that's in your life, yeah, it's not helping you, it's hurting you. So it's important that you do that. So anyway, so we have to learn how to submit to the nudges that the Holy Spirit has towards us. And it's important. Because God will use the Holy Spirit and the Word working together. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts us. He'll show us things that are in there that shouldn't be there. I remember as I was going to bed last night, I do this on a regular basis. Lord, show me what's in my life that's holding me back. I'm talking about my soul. What is it, Lord, that's causing this problem? See, it's one thing to keep the junk from coming into your soul. It's another thing of getting the junk that's already in there out. Because we got a whole lot of junk in the trunk, man. There's a whole lot of stuff in us that through the years has just been kind of flying in under the radar, and it doesn't seem like it's a bad thing. But, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to cast off not only the sins, but the weights that so easily beset us. There are things that are weights, and I'm laying there on my pillow getting ready to go to sleep, and I said, Lord, just show me. I like doing that at night because a lot of times God will bring it to you in a dream, you know, because it's unfiltered. It doesn't have to pass through all of the conscious mind to finally get your attention when you're sleeping. It's so important. But, you know, can I do that? Will I ask God to show me what's in there that's holding me back? And quite often, believe it or not, the thing that's holding you back is fear. Fear. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection, fear, all kinds of fear. We talked about it Sunday night at the Dream Team meeting. So it's important that you do that because the Word's going to reveal these things to you. It's going to divide us under the soul and the spirit, you know, the bones and the marrows, every part of you, and he's going to convict us to seek God's strength so that we can be free. But it's a partnership. I said it's a partnership. You've got to give God permission. He's not just going to come in there like, you know, because he's God, he can do whatever he wants. Well, no, he's going to let you decide what you want. And if you'll let him in, because it's a love relationship, then if you'll let him in, he'll start showing you some things. And that is so important. Because I don't want to go through my life living on good intentions, only to find out that I'd messed up and it's too late in my life to change it. I want to be able to lay my crown down before the Lord Jesus Christ, having run my race and finished my course, not letting the things of the soul keep me from becoming what God's called me to become and do what God's called me to do. It's so important. So how do we begin this transformation? Go with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 10. We're trying to stop the bad stuff from coming in. We're also going to flush the bad stuff out that's already found a way to get in there in the past before we knew to pay attention. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy and throw down, and then to build and to plant." Now look at the progression. Because the first thing that's going to have to happen if God's going to build inside of you a healthy soul is you got to find out where the junk is, the old ways, the stinking thinking, and you got to get serious about it. You got to be willing to say, "I'm not satisfied, Lord. I have not fully embraced everything that you've called me to do. I have not marched forth and done those things that only you can do as you're working through me as a willing vessel. I know there's so much more. I'm not satisfied. God, please show me." Because we know that the problem isn't on God's side of the equation, right? There's a Godward side and a manward side. So if there's a problem, it's with me. And I can freely admit that because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we know that. Let's take a look over here in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll see this again. in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 21. Ephesians 4, 21, it says, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Now in Jeremiah, he said, you got to start getting rid of all this stuff. You got to pull down. You got to root out. You got to destroy. See, God doesn't want you building a whole new life in Christ on the rubble of your old life. That does not work. In fact, back when they had the different earthquakes that they've had in San Francisco, I mean, the San Andreas Fault running right up through there. I've been in San Francisco. Man, it is a strange town, and everything is packed in there so doggone tight. But they've got this one part down by the water, down by the bay, that used to be a dump. And it was a landfill. They just poured everything in there from way back in the 1800s. And finally, they just ran out of real estate, so they decided, well, we'll just put a top coat on top of all that junk that's down there, and we'll let people build houses down there. Well, they had an earthquake, and they found out that when you do that, all that loose soil down there just liquefies. I mean, it just turns into running like water. And everything that was down in that area got destroyed. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Because the water just turned to, jello that hasn't been set up quite enough, you know? So we've got to be willing to take a look at our lives and say, okay, God, there's something in here. I just know. Every single one of us is carrying stuff that does not belong there, that was not put there by God, was put there by the enemy, and it's like a time bomb ready to go off on you. For the longest time, as I was a young man and growing up and all of that stuff, I got into the Playboys and the Penthouse magazines and all that kind of soft porn. You know, after I got born again, the enemy kept bringing that stuff up, And I had to fight and fight and fight and fight. I mean, it took, seems like, forever to get those kind of thoughts out of my soul, because it kept wanting to drag me over into the old carnal way of thinking anytime I was around women. And that's not of God. But the enemy put it in there, and I got to be willing to root it out, dig it up, cast it out, throw it down, taking off the old man and putting on the new man. That takes forever, it seems like. But let's face it, for the rest of your life, God's going to be showing you different things that need to be removed. And it's up to you, not him. He'll help you with it, but it's up to you to make that quality decision that you will no longer tolerate that kind of junk in your life. I will not. I will not settle. I am going to be free. I'm going to fight for as many rounds as it takes. I am not quitting. Yo, Mick, cut me. I can't see. You know, like the old Rocky movie. He ain't done. He's all beat to a pulp, but he ain't done. Because it ain't over till it's over, like old Yogi Berra used to say, you know? So we got to be willing to put on that new man, but you got to get some of that old junk out of the way first. Just like it says here in Jeremiah, we see it over here in Ephesians. First thing you got to do is put off concerning the former conduct of the old man. So you can't let that happen. Repentance is one of the most precious gifts that God has given to us. Repentance is so powerful. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's very true. And that was written for Christians. Even though when I was born again, I was made holy, I was made a new creation in Christ, that's the condition of my spirit, man. That's not the condition of my soul. That's not the condition of my flesh. My spirit, man, has to ascend into the point of being the head over me and my three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, and control the other two. Or else there's going to be constant conflict in my life. I'm going to be up one minute and down the next. Why is it that people can come and pray and do all the good things on Sunday morning and yet Monday fall into sin? Because they're not paying attention and they're not letting God clean out the garden between their ears, you know? Kind of like what my mom said, clean in them ears, boy, you got enough in there to grow taters, you know? Oh, yeah. But anyway, any old man issues, any kind of carnality must be dealt with immediately. When God brings it to your attention, He's just going to show it to you. What you do with it after that's up to you. Oh, Lord, I thank You for that. Aren't you glad God brings one thing at a time for you? You may have 10,000 things that need to be fixed on the inside of you, but God will just give you one at a time. And think about it. He knew everything that was on the inside of you that just stinks to high heaven, but He loved you and died for you and got you born again anyway. Because you can't fix it yourself. You got to take a responsibility for it, but you need to tap into Him, and He's going to help you get it out of there. But you got to be the one that's willing, right? You got to be the one that's going to take that sword of the Spirit and just start popping that thing until it's gone. Amen? God loves us. He wants us to have a prosperous soul so that we could prosper in every way and be in health, even as the condition of our soul. It's important. I mean, any kind of thoughts of lust, any thoughts of anger, unforgiveness, greed, envy, filthy thoughts and speech, you know, how about lies and things like that? You got to be willing to do that. You can't have any fornication or idolatry in your life. Idolatry is anything, it could be a material thing that you set up as being more important than Jesus. There shouldn't be anything even close to number two in your heart when Jesus is number one. Amen? You got to be willing to look at that. The works of the flesh, like it says in Galatians 5:19. Pay attention to that. That was written to Christians. It's amazing how people just forget that the New Testament was written to believers, you know. Somehow we think, well, yeah, that's for them sinners out there. No, it's for all of us. We all got flesh. We all got issues that are trying to creep into our life. We're going to have to deal with them till the day we die. And I'm okay with that. I hope you are too. Because realizing that God isn't nervous about it makes me feel a whole lot more comfortable. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says it this way. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all the Christian loved ones that have gone on to heaven already, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, if you don't strip all this old junk off first, you're not going to be able to go very far, right? I mean, you surely wouldn't, you know, jump in and try to swim with a bunch of rocks in your pocket, would you? No, you want to take all that stuff out. You know, you want to strip down to where I wouldn't even want to go swimming in what I'm wearing right now. Too much drag, you know. So you get down to your swimming suit, you know, and off you go. You can go a good long ways. But you see, you got to get this stuff out of the way. You got to make sure that you're not going to allow it permission. You got to give it permission to stay. But when you start coming against it, it doesn't take very long, and it'll start leaving you little by little until it's so gone it won't even come back on you. Amen? You got to run your race, but you got to spot the problems. It's like I said last night when I was praying, God, just show me. Just show me what it is. Shine a light on it, Lord. I want to be everything You called me to be. I'm not satisfied. There's so much more. And there's a reason why I'm not experiencing it right now. So, Lord, if You'll show it to me, I'll be faithful. And I know with Your help, we'll get past it. Amen? So you got to apply the answer. The only way you can do it is to spot the problem. Yeah, it's there. But don't be like so many people that I've met. All they talk about is the problem. The problem, 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 the problem. In fact, the problem becomes their best friend because it gives them some sort of significance because people feel sorry for you because you got the problem. Well, it's a funny thing. The more you, whatever you focus on gets bigger. Remember when the children of Israel, the 10 spies came in, and there were giants in the land, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and we were in our own sight, okay? So they're stared at how big and how impossible the situation is, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Don't you think there was just a little bit of exaggeration in there in what they said? Well, the more you stare at something, the more you talk at something, the more the strength, the greater it becomes in your own eyes. So that's why it's so important to know the Word of God. Because when you do that, God's going to give you the solution. He's going to give you the answer. Every problem has a solution, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. There is nothing that God has left behind. He doesn't withhold one good thing from those who walk uprightly or want to. So in other words, whatever it is, God's got the answer. And He's got it in the Scripture. And if you keep speaking the answer, that problem gets smaller and 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 it's gone. See how that works? That's why he washes us through the water of the Word, so that we will be empowered by the supernatural things that come in the Word of God that's living and active, and it'll cause us to rise above every situation that says you can't have it. I love this. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So as we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, what's the mirror? The Word of God. That's showing us what's going on. How many of you look in the mirror in the morning? Oh, heck yeah. I mean, I appreciate that. Because there's times where things just aren't right, you know. And you just make little children cry when you go out into public, you know. It's just good to know what's going on here when you're looking at it. So the Bible will show you where you're at. As you continually stay in the Word of God, it has an incredible cleansing effect, comforting effect, giving you more power than you ever thought was possible, and it's far beyond your natural ability. So it's important. So as we're looking into this mirror, unveiled, the glory of the Lord is being helping us to be transformed into that image. Isn't that great? Now, we already are in the Spirit. I mean, as soon as we get born again, if we died, we go right to heaven. Nothing else being cleaned up. We're still kind of, you know, we're still kind of a mess in our soul and in our body. But if you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're going to heaven. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? So the important thing for us to do is to begin to work on the rest of us so that we can be fully functioning, fruitful, effective in our Christian life. Not only for what's in it for my benefit, but how I can be of service to the Lord and to His kingdom. Because it isn't about me. Amen. But I got to get to that point. You know, it's amazing when I went through the Navy electrical training that was there. I didn't want to be an electrician. All I knew about electricity is that it'll kill you. I've been lit up by electricity several times in my life as a kid growing up. So when they asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up, when you're in, you know, in boot camp, it's called your dream sheet. And that's a good name for it because it's just a dream. It don't mean you're going to get anything you want, but you got to put it down. What order would you like to be? And in nuclear power, there was four different rates. You could be a machinist mate. You could be an electronic technician. You could be an electrician. And the other one was an interior communications man. So I put down machinist mate because I could tear my sister's bicycles apart and steal all of it and put my bike together in a lot of different ways. What the heck? Worked on some cars, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. If you don't quit, you finally get it figured out. And every time you tear it apart and put it back together, you got extra parts, right? So if you tore it apart and put it back together enough times, you'll have two cars, not just one. It's a strange phenomenon. But anyway, you know. So I put that down. Now the Navy said you're going to be an electrician. Oh, gee. Well, you don't get to vote. It is not a democracy or a U.S. government meet on the hill. If you go where you're told to go and do what you're told to do. So I get there, and I got to study about all these electrons, and, you know, how electricity flows through the wire and how it makes motors go around and all this other kind of weird stuff, you know. I had to unlearn a whole lot of the stuff I assumed went with electricity. I had to get the junk out of the trunk. I had to get my stinking thinking turned around. That was the first thing. And when I decided, you know what, I don't know sicken from Khmer about electricity, I guess I'll just go into this with a fresh set of eyeballs. I can learn all kinds of stuff. And just trust that what they were telling me was true. Because at the first phase is just book learning. And so it's a whole lot of theory, a whole lot of trying to describe things. But if we will just let ourselves, you know, submit ourselves to God, He'll show you the stuff that's not right. He'll even give you the power to overcome it. We see that in 2 Corinthians. How about in James? See, you got to be in the presence of the glory of God on a regular basis. You got to be there. That's why coming to church is so important. That's why spending time worshiping the Lord is so important. Tuesday, I got so busy, I didn't get a chance to pray early in the morning. So about 1 o'clock, I just decided, you know what, I'm leaving. So I went out to Janet's property, and I sat out there, and for 2 hours, I just had a time with the Lord. It was just glorious. Oh, my gosh, 2 hours of just being in His presence. The more you do that, the healthier your soul is going to be. the more that God's going to reveal stuff to you, the greater your ability will be to do what he's told you to do. It's so important. Be where his presence is found. Every time you get in the Word, guess what? His presence is right there. Every single time. And so it's important. Seasons of special prayer. But see, if you don't make room for God in your life, he's not going to come. That means you got to pay the price. That means everybody, you know, the great equalizer in life, some people say it's Smith and Wesson, you know. God made man equal. And anyway, so I say it's time. Everybody gets 24 hours. What are you going to do with it? Because you'll fill it up with something. Every one of us does. But you got to decide what you're going to say no to. Because that has as much to do with your success as what you say yes to. So when it comes to having the time to spend with God, to get into his presence, you got to give something up, don't you? You got to be willing to get up a little earlier. Oh, I'm getting up earlier. Well, get up anyway. Either that or seek him late at night if you're one of those night owls. Wherever your quiet time is, or it's just you and the Lord, the more you do that, the easier it is to get your soul into the condition where it's prospering. And then everything else begins to fit and flow from that. In James chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." Hello. What's the mirror? It's the word of God. The more you stay in it, the clearer you're going to see yourself. I'm amazed how many times I'll get my face in front of the mirror and I got hair growing in places where hair ain't supposed to be. And if I don't look at it and take care of it, man, it just looks terrible. Especially when you get your sinus draining and everything else. I don't need to paint more of a picture than that. So I got to get in there and take care of it. So I buy, like most guys, what I do is I go out and bought a power tool. So I'm sitting there, so I'm not there with the scissors trying to do it, you know. I got a power tool. You know, it's like, okay, I can, yeah, okay, that'll work. But how many, it's amazing how fast this stuff grows. But it's the same thing with keeping our soul in the right condition. It's amazing how this stuff wants to creep in and mess you up. If you're not looking in the mirror and see who you are, if you're not spending the time in the Word, you're not going to know who you are. You're just thinking you're a tuned-up sinner. Saved by grace. Doesn't that sound spiritual? It's about the most unbiblical thing you can say. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. "For if anybody's a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So what do you do when God shows you something that needs to be worked on as far as the condition of your soul? Do something right away. Sometimes the most intelligent thing you can do is to write it down. I can't tell you how many different times in my life God's told me to do something, I get sidetracked. I got a squirrel brain like everybody else. And after a while, I'm like, God told me to do something. What was that? Man, Lord, help me with that. I forgot. And so you got to have him remind you. Because you ain't going nowhere till you get what God, the last thing God told you to start dealing with. He ain't going to give you, he ain't going to skip that and go to something else because you didn't want to do that one or you forgot it. He's got to bring you back to that because that's the next logical step for you to get walk in the liberty that you have in Christ. So being a doer of the word, putting into practice what God is showing you that you need to address in your life as you're looking in the mirror of God's word is a huge part of having a prosperous soul. It's huge. You got to put it into practice as soon as you can. Sometimes it's just a confession. Writing it down is one way. The other way is the confession. Like I said, all these thoughts from these old days of, you know, looking at girly magazines and all that stuff, I've got the mind of Christ. I just start speaking the word over that. I'm telling you what, I'm speaking the answer. I'll put no unclean thing before my eyes. Problem is, I've already done it, so it's in my brain already. And my imagination brings those pictures back and brings them back and brings them back and brings them back. I just keep speaking the word of God over that thing. I'm a doer of the word. You know, think about it. I control the lust of the flesh and the pride of life because I've got the spirit of power and love and a sound, well-disciplined, ordered mind. You got to hide this word in your heart. It doesn't just come to you automatically. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will remind you of those things that that I've told you. That's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit to the disciples. Whatever I've told you, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. Don't worry about what you're going to say when you're standing before, you know, these kings and people that can, you know, do harm to you. Holy Spirit will bring it to you. So that means whatever I've hidden in my heart, how much of the Word I've been spending in, time in, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it. You don't have to memorize the Bible. The Holy Spirit will bring it right back to you. Now, you may not know chapter and verse, but that doesn't make it any less powerful. Because the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. That was put in there later for reference sake so that you can find it. When I say John 3:16, everybody knows what I'm talking about. If I tell you to go to page 257 in the New Testament, you probably aren't going to find it. About halfway down on the page on the right-hand side. Let's read that part right there. But you see, if you've got it in your heart, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of it just like this because you're a doer of the Word. So when the Word comes to you, when you speak it out, man, creative power happens when you speak the Word of God out. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It slices, it dices, it takes the enemy and backs him off. The more you speak the Word, the less he has to counter it. The less room he has to bring and to keep this stuff in your life that doesn't belong there. It's so important for us to do that. Hide your word in your heart. It'll convict you. It'll give you the power and the solution to every problem in life. But you can't get this out. Remember, you can't get this out. This junk out of your soul by yourself. You got to have God. Keep your focus on this part of your everyday life. If you get angry easy, you got issues. You better pay attention to them. If you find yourself, you know, getting back to your old vocabulary, back before I was saved, English was my second language. I was a professional cusser. When I feel those thoughts come back, I know it doesn't take much for that thought to jump out of my mouth, and you don't want to do that. So when those thoughts come up, you got to get them out of there. You got to root them out. You got to pull them down. You got to destroy them. Throw them down. You can't allow them any room whatsoever. There is no negotiations with the greatest terrorist that we will ever have to deal with. Amen? Remember, your soul does not stay renewed by itself any more than your hair stays combed. So you got to pay attention to it all the time. Mark Hankins said that. I thought, oh, that makes a lot of sense, you know? Can remember back on Smith Street, I bought my mom and dad's old house, first house my wife and I owned. We lived in there and fixed it up. It was a burner downer, but we made it a fixer upper. You know, it's an interesting project when you start out your remodeling plans by firing up a chainsaw. And that's exactly what I did. One of the main foundation beams was so rotted out, I took a tire iron. I'm down there poking around to see where if I got any bad wood and my big old oak beams holding this ancient house up, and it went right through the one, you know, right behind the toilet from up underneath in the Michigan basement there. You know, here we go. So we started working out. But during the time that we lived there, we had this crazy notion, hey, let's just put in a garden. Why, we'll eat cheap. Most expensive green beans I've ever eaten. Well, anyway, so we picked out a spot in the backyard that made a lot of sense, you know, and had a lot of fruit trees in the backyard. It wasn't a big backyard, and we got back there and we tilled it up. Well, that's a lot of fun with a regular old front-tine tiller when you got sod that's been there, grass that's been growing there for who knows how long. But anyway, we got through all of that and raked all the clods out from the sod and everything else and tilled it three or four more times and, you know, pulled all kinds of stuff out that came up, you know, from the tines of the tiller. And it was a crazy thing, but every year as I'm tilling this garden, of course, the first time was the hardest, but after that, I was amazed how much stuff we were bringing up because we were out there in the first year, and of course, you're bending over and doing stuff. A lot of times you just kneel down to work on stuff in the garden, and shoot, there'd be one of them little old off-colored green pieces. It looks like a bottle had been broken, the old 1800s kind of a bottle where they'd put the medicines in and stuff like that. And it was broken, and you're kneeling down on it. It's like, oh, my gosh, you know. And so I was finding more and more. It was amazing how much of that junk we pulled up out of that garden. The only thing I can figure was that was the area where they used it just as kind of like their trash dump. So, you know, it got worked down into the soil, but as you're tilling and growing stuff and frost heave and the spring thaw and all that stuff, more and more of it keeps coming out. So you're constantly raking more and more stuff out of that garden. You know, that's what God does in the garden of our soul. He'll start out with a big chunk. He'll put in a crop. Okay, everything's good. Next year, he'll till it back up again. More stuff comes up, more stuff comes up, more stuff comes up, year after year after year. But you know what? We just raked it up. We didn't worry about it. What was in there didn't matter because we were going to grow some, what would you have? What was those marigolds that kept the rabbits out and all kinds of different stuff? Wasn't a big garden, but it was ours. So I was kind of proud of it. So I wanted it to be the best garden it could possibly be. And I found out that I got a real green thumb when it comes to weeds. I can grow weeds like nobody, buddy. Let me tell you what. But you know, you just got to stay with it. You got to get the junk out of the garden. You got to get the weeds out of the garden. Because everybody knows it's every garden. And if you don't get the weeds out, the weeds win. Every time. So it's the same thing with what goes on up here. What's going on in the garden of your mind? Are you constantly cultivating it? Are you keeping an eye out for stuff that don't belong there? Believe me, when we first started seeing those broken pieces of glass bottles coming up, we were watching out for them after that, because who wants to kneel down on that when you have a pair of shorts on, you know, get yourself cut and, you know, in an old funky, you know, dump that turned into a garden. I mean, you're getting farted, you know, next thing you know, they got to chop your leg off, you know. So you pay attention to that. But God knows this about our souls. He knows all of this about our souls. And he is so patient and so loving and so kind. He gently removes the junk layer by layer by layer. If you'll let him. If you'll let him. It's so important to remember, you got a part in this to play. But I want you to have this to go home with it. In Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, and he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Like it says in Hebrews 12, he's the author and the finisher. He's begun a good work. He's going to complete it inside of you. So don't get all twisted up. Don't let something come up and the devil go, see right there, you're just a dirty, rotten sinner. You know better than anybody else. Who do you think God's going to do something for you? Everybody knew what you'd done in your life, boy, they wouldn't have nothing to do with you. My Bible said God so loved the world. He loved the Pontius Pilates of the world. He loved the Roman guards that drove the nails into Jesus' hands and feet. He loved the Sanhedrin, the high priest. He loved the dregs of humanity so much that he sent Jesus. That's Christmas, isn't it? So if God has that kind of love for total reprobates, horrible people, what do you think he has for you when you mess up? You know, we're raised by earthly fathers and, you know, three strikes and you're out. Boy, you do that one more time, I'm going to get the switch. Worst part was when they had me go out and cut the switch. I got real smart aleck one time. I came back with a switch about that long. That was the worst thing I could have done. Well, then he went out and got a switch. And I did the switch dance. It's kind of like river dancing, you know, the Irish stuff, but only a whole, you do it backwards and you're at an angle while you're trying to dodge the blow, you know. God's not like that. He loves you. He knows that stuff's in you. Don't get into a guilt trip. The devil will throw you into a guilt trip. He'll sucker you into doing something stupid, and then he'll run it under your nose every chance he gets just to guilt trip you out. Use it like a baseball bat to mess you up. God just says, come on. That's okay. Come on. Doesn't matter. I love you then. I knew it was there, and when I loved you to begin with, now we're dealing with it. Don't worry about it. How many times do you fall down? Doesn't matter. How many times do you get back up? How many times you go to 1 John 1:9? And then I added something else when I used to go. How about wore 1 John 1:9 out, man? Because I'd do something, I'd just say that, and I'd go right back and do it again. Oh, God, please, how can you forgive me the 90th time? Then I started getting a little smart about it. I said, God, please forgive me, 1 John 1:9. And I says, please show me, Lord, where the trigger is that brings this back out. A lot of it was my vocabulary. I had a colorful vocabulary. I practiced it all the time. God, help me to not only to be forgiven, but Lord, how to keep from stepping in that again. And when I did that, he is so loving. He's so kind. He wants your soul to be so pure. He wants you to be a vessel that he can pour the highest and the best in. Because you want to be where he wants you to be. And you don't want anything that's in the way between you and him. Oh, he loves that. When you come to him like that, oh, he is so kind. You will never, never, never disappoint God by coming to him and telling him, Lord, this happens, and I repent of it. Lord, please help me. Please forgive me. Help me to be free from this. I don't want to keep coming back to you again and again and again, Lord. I didn't know much back in those days, but I knew he loved me. I think the deepest theological truth that keeps you free, sets you free, keeps you free is Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Yeah. Keeping your soul clean. Don't let any more junk in. You better have a thought cop between your ears. No. Cast down every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. But at the same time, realize there's still some stuff in there. You may have come a long way. Glory to God. It's wonderful. But the enemy still wants to take you off at the knees with the stuff that he's already planted in you that you don't even realize is there. So without guilt, without shame, without condemnation, ask God to show you. He'll show you what to root up, what to tear out. He'll set you free. He'll give you the strength and the power to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just thank you that this is not a do-it-yourself job. It's about us working with you, trusting you, using your word, Lord, to not only bring revelation but transformation as well. And Lord, we just thank you that the more we pursue this, Lord, the better it gets. That you and you alone, excuse me, might be glorified. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed and got something out of this message. Thank you again for listening. Join us at Oasis of Love Family Church, 341 North Hudson Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. and our Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m.